Good morning once again, church. Welcome. How many of us are ready to be blessed by God's word this morning? I want us to turn over to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 3, 4, 7, and 11. We're going to read verses 3 and 4, 7 and 11 of Ephesians chapter 1. It says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace." And then in verse 11, it says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." Now, we've just gone through these scriptures, and in these scriptures, we are going to find ourselves. Every time the Bible tells us in him or in whom, it is referring to what you and I are and what we have. In Christ, we are blessed in Christ. We are holy and without blame in Christ. We are children of God in Christ. In him we have redemption. In him we have forgiveness of sins. But what I want to key in on this morning is where it says we have obtained an inheritance. Has put this inheritance in the future. And it does that with so many of the promises of God because we don't see it as a reality in most Christians' lives. We interpret the truth of God's word more by experience than we do by through the word of God. And this morning, I want to take us through the scriptures, first of all, to prove to you that this inheritance that I'm talking about is not for the next life. I mean, yes, it carries on into the next life, of course. God's not going to take it from us. But it begins here and now. And too many of us, I think, are not convinced of some of the blessings or of the blessing that God has really blessed us with. So we need to know for sure what the Bible says, the truth about our inheritance. Is it for when we die? No. It was after he died. Somebody died to give you an inheritance, just like in the natural. If your parents pass away and leave you an inheritance, they expect you to claim it then, not when you die. What good does the land do to you once you're gone? So even Jesus left you an inheritance. And he wants you to lay claim to it, even now. Now, we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And I believe this is why a lot of people get the idea that this inheritance is for the next life. Here it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead," verse 4, "to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." Now, a lot of people will read that and think that means that our inheritance is for when we get to heaven. It's reserved there for us. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying that you have obtained an inheritance. And yes, right now, it is reserved in heaven. Just like in the natural, when you obtain an inheritance, it's reserved in the bank somewhere, or it's reserved somewhere until you lay claim to it. This one, it says here, "You have obtained an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled." That means that it'll never change or alter or lose anything. Yes, it is in heaven reserved for you, but it is yours now to have and enjoy in this life. I want us to turn over to Galatians chapter 3. And I want us to read here where the Apostle Paul is arguing with the church of Galatia on how to receive this inheritance. Today, we argue whether there is an inheritance to be had on the earth. Back then, they understood there was, but it wasn't so much that it was there as to how to receive it, how to receive this inheritance, how to lay claim on it. Thank goodness Paul's argument not only clears up how we obtain the inheritance, but also when we obtained it. He argues in verse 6, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye," in other words, "don't you know that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, God preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in thee will all the nations be blessed." Now let's drop down to verse 13 of the same chapter. Here it says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us." Verse 14, "that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So what, first of all, let's ask ourselves, what is our inheritance? What have we inherited in Christ? We have obtained an inheritance. What is that? You know, when you have obtained an inheritance in the natural, you are called to the lawyer's office, you sit down, and he shares with you what you have obtained, whether it's money or land or goods of any kind. So what, let me ask you, what have you obtained in your inheritance in Christ? What is it? It's the blessings of Abraham, the Bible tells us. What was the blessing of Abraham? What was God's promise to Abraham? Because you need to know that, because that's your blessing, that's your inheritance. In Romans chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world." The heir of the world. Wow. Any of us here obtained our inheritance yet? Have you become the heir to the world? Not just $1 million or a nice little piece of land. The whole world. God's promise to Abraham was that he would become heir to the whole world. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Abraham, the promise to Abraham from God was that he would become an heir to the world. And it says in verse 16 of chapter 3 in Galatians, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, not to seeds as of many, but as of one, to thy seed, which is Christ." And verse 29 says, "If you be Christ's." How many of us in here are Christ's? I didn't hear it. Amen. "If you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." The question still remains, when do we become heirs? To the what? The world. Now, it's one thing to inherit a little bit of money and inherit a little bit of land. I mean, even that sometimes is mind-boggling. We can't. You know, if somebody came along and said, "Well, I've decided I'm going to leave my billions to you, Lorelei," it would be, you know, like, it would be hard to believe. So, in our own minds, no wonder the Bible says God is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything you can even ask or think. That goes hand in hand with the scripture that we have obtained an inheritance. We have inherited the world. Think about that. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? Inherited the world. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Because you are sons." Are we sons of God? Are we children of God? Yes. "God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." What does the word Abba mean? Daddy. There's that voice way deep down on the inside of you that cries out to God and calls him Daddy. "Wherefore, we are no more servants, but sons. And if we are sons, then we are an heir of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ," or heirs of God through Jesus Christ. So now you've got to ask yourself, what has Christ inherited? Let's see what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2 says, Christ hath, or God in these last days hath spoken unto us through his Son Jesus, whom he has appointed heir of all things. What did Jesus inherit? All things. What did you inherit? All things. Jesus is an heir of all things. And if you today are in Christ, then you also are an heir of all things. So my point is this. At the very least, we should be enjoying at least the blessings of Abraham. At the very least. When did Jesus inherit all things? The moment he rose from the grave. He inherited all things. He was victorious. And the Bible tells us that if we died with Christ, we also were risen with him. So, are we with him? Yes, we are seated together with him in heavenly places. We have also inherited all things. When? When did Jesus inherit? You inherited, you were predestined to this inheritance long before you were even born. And the moment you received Christ, you obtained his inheritance. When? Right now. In other words, the windows of heaven are wide open to you. The blessings of heaven are there. They're just ready to come down and bless you. We are walking and living under an open heaven. In the Old Testament, they were not. But when Jesus went back to heaven, the windows of heaven were thrown wide open to God's children. So why are we not seeing more of the blessing of God in our lives? Why are we not seeing this inheritance? Now, it might be because you just don't believe it's for now. Now, that would be a good reason that you're not receiving it. Because you need faith, right? But even to those of us who do believe it, and I do believe that many of us in this church do believe that, because that has been what we've been taught for years already, that this inheritance belongs to us right now, right here, this very moment. Why are we struggling to believe that in the church we're still struggling with healing, for goodness sakes? We're struggling with healing, much less have our youthfulness renewed. I'm talking about Abraham's blessing. Abraham was 100 years old. How many children did he father? His wife Sarah never could have children. She was barren her whole life. And it wasn't until 100 years old God decided to renew her youthfulness and she started having babies. Can you imagine 100 years old? But God did something to Sarah. And people say, oh yeah, it was all spiritual. No, it was in the natural. She had her youthfulness renewed. Now the church today, you talk about renewal of youth. Well, that is like... And yet, we are the seed that the promise was made to. We are in the seed. And if Abraham was that blessed and walked in that amount of blessing, how much more we, that he was just a shadow, just a shadow of the inheritance that we have obtained. And he enjoyed, it says that his eyes grew not dim. He was 120 years old and his eyesight was still as good as when he was young. He did not lose his moisture. How do you get old? How do you age? You lose your moisture in your skin. Everything starts to dry out and you get wrinkles and you get, you know. And it says that he didn't lose his moisture, his youthfulness. Moisture speaks of youthfulness. So I'm just using that as an analogy of how far we are from enjoying our inheritance. That's part of your inheritance. I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all of his benefits. It's the number 5 benefit. He will renew my youthfulness even as the eagle. And yet we're still trying to believe God for healing, much less renewal of youth. We'd just be happy and settle for healing, amen? Oh, boy. So then we continue to ask ourselves after a message, you're hearing these things, you know, where am I missing it? I know about the inheritance. I know it belongs to me right now in Christ. So where am I missing it? And what must I do to inherit these blessings that are already mine in Christ? But you know, the Bible makes it perfectly clear that if the promise of our inheritance is of no effect in our life, there's only one reason given. Now, this is not my idea. I didn't come up with this. The Bible very clearly says it's because we are still trying to get it through the law. There is no other reason. We are still under the law. If you truly believe that you have obtained this inheritance and yet you are not seeing it in your life, the Bible tells us it's because we are still under the law. We are still trying to trust in our own performance, our own goodness. Romans chapter 4, verse 13 says, "For the promise that Abraham should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, then faith is made void and the promise made of no effect." Tells us right there why the promise is of no effect. Because we're trying to obtain it through the law. Then again, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, Paul says this, "I do not frustrate the grace of God." Have you ever been really frustrated on the inside? Do you know, a lot of times I think that's the frustration of the Holy Spirit? Because he's trying to get to you your inheritance, and you're just not understanding how to obtain it. You're just not receiving it. "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Jesus Christ is dead in vain." I just read earlier that this promise, this inheritance, comes not through the law, but through the righteousness, which is of faith. So now let's just stop for a minute and let's talk about our righteousness or our performance or what we so call or think of. When you think of righteous, we think of righteous deeds. You think of doing good things, of being good, performing well. That's how we see righteousness. It's always attached to our performance, always. So I want to ask, let's talk about this. Is your performance prerequisite to the blessings of God? And I know we're going to sit here, you know, no, it's not. You know, we need to think carefully about this. It's easy to say no, it is not, when our performance didn't cause the problem we're up against. The problem in our lives where we need the blessing. We need the curse to be lifted. It's easy to say, no, my performance isn't important, when we don't feel responsible for what's going on in our lives. But let me ask you this. What about if it is your fault? What if about it is because of your performance that you're in the place you're in? Now, it's not so easy to say, well, no, my performance didn't have anything to do with this. And your head is screaming, yes, it did. So let me ask you that question again. Is your performance prerequisite? Is it something that's absolutely necessary to the inheritance, to the blessing of God that we've all obtained? Even when you know you're responsible. We know the answer is no. We know the answer is our performance has nothing to do with it. But I'll tell you, It is not easy to believe that when you're staring at a problem that you've created. Am I right? So believing that we are righteous by faith is not an easy task. We might think it, oh, bless God, that's an easy thing. No, it's not. Is our performance important? Yes, it is important, but it is not a prerequisite to us obtaining our inheritance, the blessings. The Bible tells us that no man will be justified before God by the works of the law or the works of his flesh, which is just man's performance. No man. It is only the righteousness or the justification that is of faith that obtains the blessings. But your good performance, your right living, is a fruit of your believing that you are the righteousness of God in faith. It is a fruit that is produced by believing right. And all of us here today want to live right. We want to give glory to God. We don't want to discredit the name of Christ, do we? That's not something we set out to do every morning and say, oh, geez, I wonder how I can discredit your name today, Jesus. No. Our hearts, if you're truly born again, you want to bring glory to God every day. That's just a desire that's placed in us by the Holy Spirit. We want to do right. But we cannot. We cannot unless we begin to walk in the righteousness that he's given us. We can't do it. And so most of us are still trying to get there. God wants all of us to do right, to live a life that glorifies him. We will not never do it in the flesh. Because if we could have, then Jesus wouldn't have came and died for us. But the channel to the blessings of God, because we're talking about obtaining this inheritance, is not sometimes through the law. It depends on how responsible I was. You know, because sometimes we do. We feel like there are certain times where we can say, no, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. But the next time it's like, it cannot come out of your mouth. So it's not sometimes this way and sometimes that way. There is one channel to obtaining your inheritance. What is that channel? We just read it. It is by via the righteousness, which is of faith. That is the only channel. And the Bible tells us that narrow is the way that leadeth to life. Now, they're not talking about the way to eternal life. In other words, the way to Jesus, to get to heaven. That's an easy way. And there's going to be many that will be in heaven, but very few are going to have obtained their inheritance, are going to have obtained eternal life even while they're on the earth. That's why the Bible says narrow. What does the word narrow mean? Remember, I did a study on that a couple of years ago. It means to be compacted with pressure. You are going to be pressurized from the world around you. Did you know that? The world does not agree with this teaching. You are going to be pressurized even by your church, some of the things you hear from the pulpit. And these things are pressuring you to say it like it is. It's pressuring you to believe that you are not righteous. We get pressure all the time. You don't even know what's happening. You turn on the TV. You hear something that makes you feel bad. It's like, oh, geez, I don't do that. Geez, I guess I should start doing that. Because if I don't, then this is the end result. Pressure, pressure, pressure to always be trying to be something that you are not. Even in the church. How many times do we hear something and we walk away and now we feel the pressure to try to do better, to try to live better? Always trying to press us. Who do you think is behind all this pressure? Condemning you every day. There's some voice condemning you. It's not from the world, it's from the church, or it's from yourself. Condemnation. Do you know that condemnation is a form of self-righteousness? You're condemning yourself because you don't feel righteous about self. It's self-righteousness is what it is. And so this way that leads to the faith righteousness, it's a very narrow way. And that's why the Bible says you fight the good fight of faith. That is your fight. Every day when you get up, you're going to have to fight. And you're going to have to take a stand in that position every day. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Has nothing to do with what I did yesterday, last night, this morning, what I thought. I still am the righteousness. This is an everlasting righteousness. It doesn't come and go based on your performance. It's a gift. And it is the fight you will have for the rest of your life. Why? Because every day you're going to have opportunity to mess up. And every day you're going to hear voices coming along to accuse you, to condemn you. And it doesn't matter how hard you try. There is going to be some area that you're going to mess up. And in the natural, if you don't even can't even put a finger on where you were that you messed up, you're going to imagine something, an emotion, a feeling. It's just part of living in this flesh body. Our flesh is not redeemed. And so I'm warning you, it's going to be a fight of faith. Narrow is this way. This blocks the channel to our receiving our inheritance. We are bombarded all day long with condemnation from one place or another. And it is a fight of faith every day to continue to believe that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, we think the fight of faith is to believe God for our healing or our prosperity or whatever it is we need from God. That's not your fight of faith, because you will not receive healing until you know that you are the righteousness of God by faith. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Healing will follow you, hunt you down. Prosperity will hunt you down when you know that you are the righteousness of God by faith. This is the channel to all of your blessings. I don't care what the blessing might be that you need. It is the channel. All blessings are yours through this channel. And you and I can look at our own lives, which I do many times. I don't know about you, but you know, you're always examining. Terrible thing to do. Because the more you examine, the more you see. And we look at the areas where we're not enjoying the blessing. We know darn well, okay, this is not the way God would have me live. And so a lot of times it's, oh, well, you know, I can live with it. I can put up with it. And so you walk away and you think, oh, well, I'm not going to press in here. But you can bet in those areas, you can be sure in those areas there's a blockage. And that blockage is either condemnation, it's guilt, it's shame, it's something that is keeping you believing you're not righteous in that area. Like, I'm doing pretty good over here, but over there, oh, I suck. And so then because you feel that way, you don't expect God to bless you in that area, right? Just like, oh, well, you know what? I can live with this. I know I deserve all this. I'm only getting what I deserve. Come on, is that not the truth? Am I the only one that thinks that way? I don't think so. Because the same devil is coming along, putting thoughts in my mind, that's putting the same thoughts in your mind. And the devil does not want you on this narrow road. He does not want you to find that way. Because he knows the moment you step out on that road, the moment you get it, he's lost you. He can't touch you. He cannot touch. He can't touch you any more than he can touch Jesus. Can he affect Jesus in any way? No. Jesus' righteousness is, I mean, there is no way he can come near that. And so, of course, this way is narrow and compacted with pressure. He's going to pressurize it. He's going to get you to confess and be like the rest of the world. So we can see in our own lives areas where we're still walking in the law. We're still under the law. And I need to tell you today, God's not withholding his blessings from you. Heaven's open, wide open. In Christ, we've already been blessed with every Holy Spirit blessing. Yes, people say, oh, that's a spiritual blessing. Yeah, it's Holy Spirit given. It is a spiritual blessing, but it is manifested in our lives in the natural through the Holy Spirit. So if we're not enjoying these blessings, it's because our channel is blocked with our own performance yet, or lack of it. But the promise is not through the law, but through the righteousness which is of faith. And guess what? I'm going to share some earth-shattering news here. It is through the righteousness that is of faith. And faith is not faith unless it speaks. I have believed, the Apostle Paul said, therefore I speak. Do you know that most people mentally assent to being righteous? Come on. We listen to a message like this and you're mentally assenting to what I'm saying. But unless you get it out of your mouth and start speaking it, because that's where the fight is. What does it say in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12? Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you are also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses. Your fight is your profession of who you are. And it's the hardest when you continually mess up to stand in that position and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, irregardless of your performance. That is when you need to say it the most. It's easy to say it when you've done some good deed. I am the righteousness of God in faith, because you feel righteous. No, no, no. Where the fight comes in is when you did the lousiest, despicable thing. You know you were in the wrong, and you still can stand there and say, I am the righteousness of God by faith. And it's at that moment that you really have faith. It's at that moment that God sees you as righteous. And guess what? It makes no sense, but it's in those situations where you will see the blessing of God more than ever, is when you have messed up and you are trusting in one thing and one thing only, his righteousness in you. Too many times we don't even know we're doing it, but we're trusting in our own righteousness. And we think, well, you know, I'm a Christian. God should heal me. I mean, I know the word, God forbid. I've been speaking the word. God should heal me. We don't know. We're just teetering on self-righteousness. And yet there's times where you know you deserve nothing. You know, and you still reach out to God for help. That, it's at those times where it's all God. It's at those times that your faith is the greatest. But that's so opposite the way the world thinks. And it's hard. It's hard for us to come against the way the world thinks. The world says that you do good, you get good. You be a good person, God will bless you. That's their channel to the blessing, is their own goodness. The Lord says, the Holy Spirit says, phooey. Your goodness is as filthy rags before God. The only goodness that is acceptable is his goodness, the goodness of Jesus. And he gave it to us, his own goodness, as a gift. So we are mentally assenting to the truth. And we need to fight this fight of faith. We need to say it every day. When you get up in the morning. And you know, at first you might not, you know, it's just words coming out of your mouth. But I guarantee you just continue to say, you know why? Because the Holy Spirit always bears witness with the truth. And he's been waiting for you to say it. Because first of all, there's three things the Holy Spirit does on the earth, right? He comes to convict of sin. Now, the only sin he convicts anybody of is one sin and one sin only. And that is, he convicts people that they need Jesus. The only sin is not to believe in Jesus, not to receive Jesus as your Savior. But once he's done that, once you have received Jesus, once you realize that you can't make it without Jesus, then there's the second thing he does in your life. And the Bible says he comes to convict you of righteousness. He comes to convict you. Now, you know, for years we used to think that he convicts you of sin. No, he doesn't. Once you have Jesus, you have no more sin as far as he's concerned. Jesus took it all away. But now he has to convict you. The word convict means convince. He has to convince you that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And so when you begin to speak it out, even though it may not mean a whole lot to you, you may not even understand it, but it don't matter. Say it anyways. If we had to wait till we understood everything, we'd never have anything. If you had to wait till you understood the air conditioning in your house, Lorelei, you would never enjoy that cool air, would you? All you need to know is it goes on and the air comes out. Now, I'm telling you today, get it in your mouth. Speak it out. Just get it the words out there. You may not understand exactly what that means. You may not understand what it does to the devil. You may not understand what it does to the heart of God or to the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter. It is not up to you to do and to drag down the blessing of God. It's up to the Holy Spirit. But he needs your words. And so the second thing he is doing today is he is convicting us of our righteousness, convincing us. And so when you begin to get every day, say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, he begins to work. And eventually that confession will become stronger and stronger. And you're going to stand in the midst of that confession and you're going to see things happening all around you. And you're going to just be, whoa. Because the channel is the righteousness, which is of faith, and faith speaketh. Faith speaks. So how do we fight? We speak. We profess it every day. I don't care what you've just done wrong. I don't care how you feel in the morning. That should be the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you stand on your feet. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And the Holy Spirit, you know that you are actually speaking words of life into your life. You're opening up channels for God to bless you. And you're going to get blessings that you never even asked for. Things are going to just start happening in your life. Things are going to start working out. And blessings will just start to come in. Because you have unclogged your channel. And the Holy Spirit has taken your words and is bringing the, I hate to use the word rewards, but the fruit or the reward of righteousness into your life. Because when you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, you are saying so much more than you even know. Those words are packed so full of blessings and life. And even though we may not understand it, say it anyways. And the more you say it, the more your heart is going to believe it. And the more you believe it, the more you're going to understand it and the power that's in those words. So have we obtained an inheritance? Yes, we have. And just like we can't understand this righteousness, maybe, we certainly cannot understand the inheritance that we have obtained. When I think of obtaining the whole world, it's like, whoa, all things. There is nothing that you desire that isn't already yours. Now, that might be hard for us to understand, hard for us to believe today. But I guarantee you, I want us to start as a church to confess our righteousness every day. And I guarantee that you will start to see more and more of the blessings of God in your life to the point where you're going to be amazed. Amen? Amen. How many of us have learned something this morning? Praise God. We know that the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. We here do believe we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We believe that in our hearts, but with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now that word salvation isn't just going to heaven. Salvation is the God kind of life. So remember, your confession is important. It gives the Holy Spirit something to work with, to bring back into your life. When we speak the words, we are speaking words of life, God's words of life into our own. Amen? Amen. It's not about our working and doing and striving and struggling. It's just simply obeying what the word tells us to do. And God's word will never return void. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word.